joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are truly delighted that you would spend your time on this Sunday afternoon to be with us and to listen for the words of God. It is Sunday, April 12th. We are live. This is Let the Bible Speak, a call-in question and answer program where you set the tone of discussion, you set the topic, you set the theme based off of the questions that you ask, the questions that are on your heart and on your mind concerning the things of God, how we can live our lives better for the creator of this universe and show ourselves approved unto him. It is our honest and true desire to only be servants of God that can help you get to heaven by knowing God's word, applying it better to your life. That is what we're here for. We are just your servants in that capacity. So please, with that being said, the lines are open. Go ahead and call in your questions. Area code 843-308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to call in your questions here at the station. You can have your question written down and sent in to us. Or if you prefer, you can actually ask your question live over the airways. We just ask two things if you want to ask your question over the air. One, that you would be so kind as to just provide us with your name so we can be polite and converse back and forth with your name. And also that you would turn your radio down so that there is no confusing echo, because that happens a lot of times if your radio is up too loud. So those are only two things that we ask if you would like to ask your question live over the air. However, you don't have to. Once again, like we mentioned, you can just call 308-9564 and have your question written down and send it to us. And we will go to God's word for the answers. Imagine that. Not my opinion or anyone else's opinion, but what God's word says, in trying to help you to apply the principles of the scriptures and the lessons learned in God's word, apply them to your life. We also have a text line available. The text line is area code 843-725-9283. That's 725-9283. That is the number if you would like to text in your questions. Do not call that number, please. That is the text line. The text line is 725-9283. The voice line is 308-9564. And we invite you to go ahead and call in your questions. Far too often, and we say it every week, those of you who listen to us and know this is true, we say it every week, the lines will start to light up towards the end of the broadcast, and we might have to start rushing to get your question in, and there's a possibility that we might not get to, and then we'll have to push it back to next week. So to avoid all that, go ahead, we're telling you now, the lines are open, both lines are available, go ahead and call. If you're listening and you're wondering whether or not you should call, stop wondering about it. Go ahead and call. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. We will go to God's words for the answer. 308-9564. 308-9564 is a call-in number, and the text number is 725-9283. 725-9283.
Don't miss out on getting your call in today, your question in today, and it is our honor to be able to go to the Word to find the answers to those questions. A number of you I met this week, we are so thrilled to be able to know that you're listening each week, and we thank you so much for this honor to be able to be your a voice, to be able to find the answers in God's Word, and that's all we are, is just a voice crying in the wilderness to be able to point out what God has to say concerning the questions that pertain to life and godliness that you have. We do not make any apology about going to the Bible for the answer, because if you take our word or man's word, then that will not get you to heaven. Oh, you may feel good about it. You may even get some really good counsel, but it will only be the word of God that will enable us to be able to be pleasing to God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we've got to go there for the answers. That's where our faith must be built, so that we, when we stand before God one day, he will not tell us, well, you listened to so-and-so, or you took so-and-so's word for it, instead of listening to me. And so we've got to make certain that we are doing the will of God. And thus, the program is called Let the Bible Speak. And in essence, what that means is when we read out of God's word, it is God speaking to us, and we are putting our faith in him as we look and see the answers for ourselves. So get paper, pencil ready, write down the answers, and check out these things. If we say something or we teach something that is not in accord with what God's Word says, you will be our friend to be able to call us and point that out, because if we add to God's Word or we leave something out, Galatians chapter 1 gives us this warning. Paul himself includes himself in this warning. In verse 8, he said, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what's been preached to you, let him be accursed, or anathema. That's the Greek word, and that's like a super curse. The worst of curses. That's what God says is supposed to happen. If anyone teaches anything other than what we can read in God's Word. So that's why we thank you, and it's not noble of us to ask you to force us to show you the answer in God's Word or to give you that. It's actually terrible. We do not want to make a mistake. We want to make certain that God is the only one that is speaking, and we're just allowing people to see the answer in God's Word for themselves. Most churches today do not explore all the truth. They are restricted by the denominational walls or doctrines or teachings or disciplines or many other words that are used to describe these doctrines that man has come up with, and that limits the ability to be able to see all of the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, they won't accept that in a court of law today, nor should we accept it in our relationship with God. We must seek the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. He will help us. But we've got to be seeking. So are you seeking? Call in your questions right now, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Both lines are available, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283.
You know, it is so important that people can understand individually in our own relationships with God. We need to be able to let God's Word be the foundation of our faith. Not man's word, not anyone else's word, not emotions or feelings or experiences. We need to let it be in line with God's Word. Our lives should be completely in line with God's Word, meaning what we think, what we say, what we do should be based off of what God's Word tells us, because God's will is contained in His Word. We wouldn't know what His will is if we didn't know what it said in His Word. And so it's so important for individually as us as believers, if you are claiming the name of Christ and being called a Christian or a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, a following of the teachings of Christ. That's what a disciple is, someone who follows the teachings of another. Then it is important to understand there is God's Word, and there is a lot of things that we individually can do to recognize that God's Word is the truth, should be the foundation of our lives. If you look at how the church in Thessalonica began, you'll see they were praised by Paul, Silas, and Timothy in the letters that were written to the church in Thessalonica. And if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you will get a glimpse of one of the reasons why the church there in Thessalonica was praised by Paul, Silas, and Timothy. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll see here, if you look down to verse 13, where it reads, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So if you believe the word of God, you believe it as the word of God, not the word of men, not because the pastor is in the pulpit preaching so well and so eloquently and he's putting on a show and he's sweating and he's jumping around and, oh, you really feel the passion. You really, he's got to be telling him the truth because he's just so passionate about it. That does not mean it's truth. We individually need to be in God's word ourselves and let our own relationship with God be grounded in the word of God and have the right foundation. So that way we won't need someone else to tell us. We won't need that because we're understanding it ourselves. And that's what God wants. But you have to have the right foundation. And the foundation has to be when I'm looking at the scriptures or when someone's telling me about something God's word says, I should be able to find it in God's word, or they should be able to show it to me in God's word. Because that is where you're putting your faith in, not in the person telling you. And that including two quacks on the radio. You're putting your faith in what God's word says. So we individually need to be able to make that stance and have that foundation. So you have a question about that? Does it seem kind of fuzzy to you? Well, please, go ahead. Don't hesitate. Call in your question. The number is 308-9564, 308-9564.
Did you just call me a quack?
I called myself a quack also, yes.
Okay, all right. Just making certain here. You know, we are certainly not important at all. The only thing that is important is what God says. And that's the reason we want you to be ready to look into the Bible and to see what God has to say. And we are glad to be a quack or whatever we are to be able to help you to find the answers in God's word. So please don't hesitate to call in your question and we will go for the answer in God's word. So we're about to take our first break, and we want you to know that both lines are still available. 308-9564 is the number. That's the voice line. And you can have your question written down by the operator here, and it can be brought into us, or you can go live on the air. It is your choice. And be sure to call and get your question in right now. Or you can text us again. That text line is 725-9283. And before we go to break, we want you to know that we're about to offer to send you free Bible material, a Bible correspondence course that is absolutely free. We will never, ever ask for a donation. It is free. Please just go ahead and put away your checkbook. Do not even think about sending us any funding or donation of any kind. We are honored to be able to share with you the riches of God's priceless word as you study in your own Bible. And we'll be glad to send you this course that will take you into the word of God, and you may discover things in it that you have never seen before. If you're part of a church that has been established for some time, then odds are you're going to discover things in God's word that's never been spoken of in the pulpit. And the reason is because many things in God's word do not fit into the denominational box or the doctrinal restriction box that a particular church may be restricted by. And so being that they are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the whole truth, well, isn't it important for us to find out the whole truth before we stand before God one day and Him tell us, well, why didn't you do the things that I say? Why did you call me Lord and did not do the things that I said, Luke brings out, or Matthew brings out. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments, John brings out. So we can see God is very clear about this. We must be doing what he says and everything that he says if we're going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So don't delay. Go ahead and enroll in this course. It is as simple as calling this number, 553-5157. You can go ahead and jump ahead of everyone else, 553-5157, and just leave your name and address, and it will be getting it to you in the mail this week. So don't miss out on this. Again, that number, 553-5157. Here's some more information on it. If you're already one of our Bible students, then call in your question. 308-9564 is the voice line. Or the text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and we want to thank you so much once again for joining us and being with us this afternoon. And we want to continue to encourage you. Call in those questions at 308-9564. Right when we went on break, we mentioned how it was kind of a slow beginning. We didn't have any calls, and promptly all three lines lit up all at one time. So if you did not get through, please call right back. We have three lines, and we can only talk to one person at a time, so the other two lines just continue to ring. And so as we answer one question and hang up, then we get to the next line, and then we answer that question, we get to the next line. So as you're ringing, let's let the phone ring, or just hang up and click redial and call it right back, and we will get to you. So if we did not get to your question just now, like I said, all three lines lit up, go ahead and call back. 308-9564, 308-9564. Or if you don't want to have to worry about being in line, text in your question. You can text in your question to 725-9283. We have a phone right here that it comes to, and you won't have to worry about waiting for the phone to ring if you do that. So you can text in your question to 725-9283. Along those lines, also, when you're on the phone, please be aware of other people trying to call in also. And if it's possible, could you have your question ready to ask, so that way we can minimize the amount of dialogue and time over the phone, so that way we can go ahead and get the next questions in line, so people who are waiting don't have to wait too long. So please just keep others in mind also when you're calling in your question, and try to have your question ready. But with that being said, go ahead, keep the questions coming. That's what we're here for. 308-9564, 308-9564, to let the Bible speak.
And here we go. David calls in this question. He wants to know, how do we know people's authority without titles? Well, David, here's the answer to that. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, where Jesus, after his death, his burial, his resurrection, and about to ascend into heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So there's the answer. Now just think about that for a second. Now, if he has all authority, how much do we as people have? There is no yeah, but. What we have to do is just listen to what Jesus said there. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has it all, then we have none. And then just to emphasize this, even while he was here, before he actually was ascending up to his throne, he nailed down those individuals that thought they had authority in Matthew chapter 23. He says things to them, by the way, read the whole chapter, there's 39 verses, but he says to things like, you fools, you blind, for which is greater, gold or the temple of the gold? He calls them hypocrites. He calls them whited sepulchers. These individuals were seeking after their own glory. And he says of them that they love the best places in the feast and the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, to be called of man, rabbi, rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do you get that last phrase? We are all brethren. There's no big I's and little U's. There's no authorities on this earth except for Jesus. He has all authority. Now, we have roles. Now, if you're meaning roles, that's an entirely different thing. David, I take it you are a son. You may also be a father. You may be a brother. Now, those are roles that you play, but that doesn't mean you have authority in those areas other than what God may assign to you. Like, for example, a father is to be obeyed by the children. But see, the authority is God there. And so we can get the idea there. Yes, Christ, God, has all authority. And in churches today who have made multi-levels of authority, that's just not, I'll repeat, not of God at all. Thanks, David, for your question. Again, that was Matthew 28, verse 18. And Matthew 23 and verse 8. Again, the number is 308. The lines, we got all those answered, so go ahead and keep the questions coming. 308-9564. That is, we got all the lines answered. Now we're dealing with the questions that you called in. The lines are now available again, 308 9564. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a question asking about when the Lord said, keep my commandments, does that include the Sabbath? Well, where you're quoting from is the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15, where Jesus says, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, he didn't repeat it like I did, but I just wanted to make sure for emphasis we understood Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So that requires a response of, well, if I do love him, then I will keep his command. I will obey what he said. Now, in that same book, Gospel of John, if you turn back to chapter 12 and you look at verse 48, Jesus says that the words which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So the words that Christ speaks, the New Testament, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And so he has created the new covenant or the New Testament for us, and he established it himself. So it is his law, it's his commandments, his rules, his ordinances. He is the ruler of it. He is the one who decides what we should live by. So as far as keeping the Sabbath goes, he did not tell us to keep the Sabbath. Now, while he was alive and walking on this earth, he kept the Sabbath because he lived as a Jew, and he obeyed that. But he fulfilled the old law, the Jewish law, to where that law is no longer what God judges us by to see whether or not we obtain eternal life or eternal condemnation. So, with that being said, out of the Ten Commandments that most people know from the Old Testament, only 9 of them were repeated in the new law, in Christ's new law. Now, we obey 9 of those 10 commandments, not because they're the 10 commandments, but we obey them because they were repeated in the new law. So what we live by is what Christ's new law tells us. And actually, the one commandment of the 10 that did not get repeated in the new law was to keep the Sabbath holy. And that's because when Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week, then that is the day where the disciples come together to remember that. And so that's what was instituted when he resurrected on the first day. So it's no longer the Sabbath quote unquote the holy day. That's no longer the day, but the only day, the only holiday, holy day that God in the Word tells us to observe is the first day of the week. Not what people celebrated last week, not anything else. The only holiday or holy day that is in the Word of God is the first day of the week. And that's because that's the day that our Savior was risen.
That is in the New Covenant.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, yes, in the New Covenant, which is why the Old Covenant, we are no longer under that. And the Sabbath, that was under the old law. If you're still kind of fuzzy on that, caller, Hebrews chapter 7 through 10. Yeah, that's right. All three of those chapters, specifically chapter 8, if you really just want to get straightforward to it, just chapter 8, I think is only 13 verses, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not too long a read. That will clarify it for you, but that should be able to help you. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your call. To join in the program, 308-9564 is the number, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, along that line, while we're on that theme, we need to get this question. A question comes in about tithes. Do you pay from your paycheck or from what you bring home? Well, caller, based upon what we just noticed from Chuck's answer, and that is the old law was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. Galatians 5:4 says, whosoever justifies himself by the law, he has fallen from grace. We cannot go back to the law of Moses to establish anything, because if we do, as far as a practice today, then it makes us fall from grace. Again, that verse is Galatians 5 and verse 4. Now, as far as what we give today, it's not tithes, because tithes were supposed to go to the Levites. There are no Levites today. And therefore, it would be senseless to give tithes to nobody. That was the purpose of in the Old Testament. And by the way, caller, if you you want to do more study on this, go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, And if you're on a mobile device, change it to desktop view. And then you'll see on the left-hand side of the screen a whole list of buttons to push. And go to the Bible study materials, and you will find at least two articles there dealing with tithing. And one of which shows that the tithing back then in the Old Testament was not even money. It was not money. Okay, that's a surprise, I know. Just go check that out on the website and look up all the verses, and you'll see exactly what the tithes were in the Old Testament. So that's part of the old law. We're supposed to now follow Christ, as the previous question asked, who is it that's in charge? Well, Christ is in charge. All authority is given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. We've got to listen to his law, the new covenant, the New Testament, and then when we follow it, it never tells us to tithe under his law and his instructions. And so that's important for us to know, and that answers your question right there. But now if you want to know how much to give, then look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. When we give to the Lord, we're supposed to give as we have been prospered. And then also 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8 tells us to give bountifully and cheerfully. And so those are the instructions that the Lord instructs us on how to give to him. Again, we're glad to be able to be of service, and thank you so much for your question. We hope and pray that that has been beneficial to you. Again, the number, if you have a question, call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Or if you have a text question, you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about this free offer. It is something we offer every week. It is a correspondence course where you can study on your own terms, in your own schedule. You don't have to tune in on Sunday afternoon for this. We'll send it to you in the mail. You can study when it's convenient for you, and that way you'll get the most out of it, 10 times more than what you get by listening to us. When you go to the Bible for the answers yourself, you'll be able to be much more blessed. Let us send this to you in the mail. It is absolutely free. Here's details on it. If you already have the course, then fill it out. Continue to study with us through the mail, and make certain that you check out everything with God's Word, because he's the one that's going to have the final say. Now, go ahead and call in your question if you would like, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, we just want you to know how serious and sincere we are when we offer you that Bible correspondence course. One of the biggest problems that people as Christians or believers have is that we don't consistently get in God's Word ourselves. We get so comfortable with just going to worship service or going to Bible study as a church together, and we don't actually spend time in the Word ourselves. You know, so that's what the correspondence course is designed to do, to get you to increase your relationship with God yourself, by him, just him and his word, you and his word. So that's what the Bible correspondence course is. It can work for you, and it is absolutely free, and we encourage you to take part in that. I believe we have a live caller by the name of John. Are you there?
Yes,
how can we help you?
I was listening. I heard you was mentioned on authority early.
Yes.
I don't remember exactly what scripture.
That was Matthew 28 and verse 18, where Jesus said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth."
Okay, so what you're saying is I don't have authority on earth?
No man has authority. Christ has all authority. The only authority man has is what God gives. And God has never made any of his brethren over anyone else as far as an authority, because Christ has it all. All we're doing is just enforcing his authority.
Okay, let me refer to John 14:22.
Okay.
14:12. Well, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me, the work that I do, shall he also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." my
phone. If you turn your radio down, there will not be a confusing repeat there. That would help us a lot. And all right. And so, yes, that is where Jesus is talking about. He's leaving the apostles. He's going back to heaven. He's sending the Holy Spirit, and he's letting them know that the Holy Spirit is going to guide them into all truth. And thus, in that passage, he mentions all three, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You there?
Yeah, I'm there. 14 and 12.
Yes.
John.
Mm-hmm.
So, that tells me that I can do the same thing Jesus did when he was on earth.
Now, he's talking to the apostles. Look in the context. He's talking to the 12 there. And he did give them authority while they were on earth. There are no apostles today because they were, in order to be an apostle, you'd had to be chosen, seen the risen Lord, and sent by him. And so that's those were qualifications for someone to be an apostle. You can find that in Acts chapter 1. And so that was they were witnesses of God. And so that's why him commissioning them to go. And part of that verse, the next verse after Matthew 28:18, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And so now we are to be doing the very same thing that they were doing, and that is proclaiming the word.
Okay.
All right, but now your question is about authority. How does that give man different authority than God's?
Well, we can do the same thing Jesus did because we are Christ-like once we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we can do amazing things, but as far as the miracles and the power of the Holy Spirit that he promised to them, then that is not part of what is being done today. Hebrews chapter 2, if you will take these verses, write them down. Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4. And
okay,
then,
well, I'm letting my wife write it down for me.
Okay, Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4. And then also Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, the power, the gifts, the signs that God performed through them was for the confirming, or the revelation of, mm-hmm. and the confirming of the word. And so the word was completed. We have it today. And thus now his authority is expressed entirely through the word of God. And if anybody comes up with anything different than what was taught back then, that is what we're reading right now from the Bible, then they are to be accursed. That's Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9.
Okay.
Thank you, John. We sure do appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, then. Have a great day. Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. And if the calls kind of pile up, we apologize for that. Just call back, and you'll be able to get through. Chuck?
Yeah, we have a question about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. And the caller wants to know, is it their responsibility to help this person if this other person is spending foolishly? So what 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever of you has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, the person being in need, that first of all, we have to understand what being in need is. Need as defined by what God defines need as. God defines need as food and clothing. We understand that from Matthew chapter 6 and also from James chapter 2. So God's definition of need is food and clothing. So if you see someone in need of food or clothing, yeah, you should not shut up your heart to them. Now, if they're spending foolishly and they don't have food and clothing, well, then that leaves you the opportunity to show grace and mercy. But you also want to understand that, mercy triumphs over judgment. But you also want to, and that's James chapter 2 there. And also you want to recognize 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, that you are not supposed to share in other people's sins. So if someone's just spending their money all foolishly and frivolously and disobeying God when he told us in Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer but work with labor with his hands. So, God expects us to work. If we're able to work, he expects us to work. If anyone shall not work, neither shall he eat. So God expects us to work and to take care of our own and be able to provide for our own needs if we're able to. So if someone's working and doing all that but spending foolishly, and they spend themselves into need to where they need food and clothing like God defines need as, well, then I don't know if I'm comfortable with giving a specific answer on your situation or that person's situation. But all I can say is that what God's word says, that we shouldn't share in other people's sins. So if they're working and they're just spending their money frivolously and foolishly, well, then there may be a point like the parable of the son, where he had to reach rock bottom for him to come to his senses. So there might come to a point where you're not supposed to give them while they're in need, so they can come to their senses and stop sinning against God by being so frivolous and prodigal and spending so foolishly. So there's a couple of things to recognize there, and hopefully that's been helpful to you. Understand we have a live caller by the name of Lutalo. Lutalo, are you there?
Lutalo, yeah. Are you there? How can we help you, Lutalo?
Just thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I may have asked this question before. I don't remember the response I got. But it's been for a long time when I was even studying the Bible. And when I hear somebody say, Apostle so-and-so, or church so-and-so, because there's a couple of churches I know in Somerville that say call the pastor apostle. And I always felt that the only apostles were the 14, that's the original 12, and then Paul, and then Matthias.
Yes,
so
that's correct.
When people not call themselves apostle, I mean, I just don't believe in that. And then when they say that, I want to go straight to Scripture and be solid that the only original apostles were the original 14.
Yes, and you look in the context of when they are mentioned, they're also called a witness. A witness of the risen Lord in Acts chapter 1, they're called when they chose Matthias, that he had to be a witness, and so that is what's peculiar for an apostle that is not today, and that is someone that has witnessed the Lord. When you're a witness for a crime or witness for an auto accident, you cannot be a witness if you are you're taking someone else's word for it. You had to be an eyewitness, and that's what that means there. And so the apostles, in order for someone to even consider themselves to be an apostle, they would have had to have met the Lord. And then on top of that, the Lord would have had to have sent them, singled them out for this mission, as he did with those 14 men. You're right. And so there is no one today that fits those qualities.
Now, the reason why Paul was that, because when he got stuck down on the road to Damascus, when he was the Christians.
That's correct.
So his witness was when he got stuck down, or was it something else that would make him be actual witness?
In meeting the Lord on the road, he became a witness of the risen Lord. And then the Lord himself sent him forth to go, and therefore that made him an apostle.
All right, and what about Matthias?
Matthias also had walked with the Lord from the first day until then, even after the resurrection. And so, yes, Matthias met that as well. They cast lots for him, and God chose him to be one of the 12 in the casting of lots.
Okay.
And that's in Acts chapter 1.
Acts chapter 1.
Yes, about Matthias. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lutalo. Thank you for your question. We sure appreciate you hanging in there and being with us all these years.
I appreciate that.
All right. God bless you. Again, the number, if you have a question you'd like to call in right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. And questions that are coming up, some of y'all know that you're wondering if we're going to get to your question. One is dealing with the Holy Spirit being a person, and another one is dealing with taking the communion every Sunday. And so we're going to be dealing with those questions coming up and a couple of more. So just stay tuned for that after the break, and we will let the Bible speak to those questions and all the more questions that come in. So the number is 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about this correspondence course again. Remember, it is free, and we're happy to send it to you. And so if you have gotten it already, then fill it out and send it in. Study those things. Find out what God expects of us. We better find out now, because we're just one breath away from meeting our Lord. We better find out what he wants of us while we're still breathing. We'll be right back. We're back live now, and we want you to know that the course that we send to you is a series of studies that we'll send you lesson one in the mail immediately. And then you study that and send it back, you know, fill it out and send it back. We'll grade that to you, and we're very gracious in our grading. And so you fill that out and send it back to us, and then we will grade it, send the next two lessons to you where you study those, you fill them out, send them back, we'll grade those, and then we will send back those two lessons graded along with lessons 4, 5, and 6. And that's the first course. Now, we've got many courses, and so it will continue on as long as you want to study. And so please don't hesitate. It is all free. We never ask for any kind of donation, and we want to share with you the treasure that is contained in God's Word. Again, the number to call for that course is 553-5157, 553-5157, and that's how to get that course in the mail to you, and we're happy to send it to you. Now, if you have a question, continue with your questions. We got, looks like, five, six questions here, but we can still deal with these. Keep the questions coming in. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in asking about if God's law, well, the question says, if God's laws don't change, then why don't we observe the Sabbath? And who changes it the first day of the week? On the first part of the question, I don't believe we've gone over any scripture that says God's laws don't change. As a matter of fact, it kind of says the contrary. If you look in the old law, Jeremiah chapter 31, it actually tells you and prophesies that the law will change. So now we have the understanding that God himself doesn't change. He's the same, but his plan has always been from the beginning to have a new covenant to come in to replace the old covenant. That's always been God's plan throughout the entire context of the Bible. So we have to have a foundational understanding of that piece first, that it's always been God's plan to have an old covenant just between him and the Jews, where covenant just means contract or agreement or testament. So he had a contract. It was God's contract between him and his chosen people, the Jews. That was the Old Testament. Then Christ came, the Messiah. There was that 400 years of silence. And then Christ, the Messiah, came. So that entire old law was talking about the coming of this Messiah who was going to save the world. He actually came after that 400 years of silence. And he lived under the old law himself, being a Jew. But when he died on the cross, that old law was nailed to the cross. And 3 days later, when he was resurrected from the dead, that was on the first day of the week, that ushered in the new covenant. Christ is, I believe Romans talks about Christ being the first fruits of the resurrection. And so we understand that it was always a part of God's plan that there would be a new law to replace the old law. So as far as who changed the special day from the Sabbath to the first day of the week, God himself changed it. The only one who matters changed it. The only one with the authority to change it is the one who changed it. That's who changed it. Not us, not man, but we recognize it was God's plan. Once again, that was Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. In the Old Testament itself prophesies that there will be a new covenant to replace it. And once again, Hebrews chapters 7 through 10, you look at those chapters, and those four chapters will show you specifically chapter 8, but definitely chapter 7 through 10 of Hebrews will show you the difference between the old law and the new law, and how the old law, Christ's New Testament law, is so much better than the old law. So that's just a basic understanding that we have to know. And we look at what the apostles did, by example, the first members of the church when it started, and how the early disciples were in the first century. We see what they did. They met on the first day of the week. It's not specifically recorded that Christ told them to meet on the first day of the week, but some could assume that he told them that, or some could assume that maybe they didn't. We don't know, but what we do know is we have examples that they met on the first day of the week. And we have John chapter 20 and verse 19. All right, so that's John, the Gospel of John chapter 20 and verse 19, where it talks about they met on the first day of the week. We have Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that said they met on the first day of the week. And we have a commandment that they were supposed to give for the collection for the saints on the first day of the week. On 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verses 1 and 2. So we have examples that the apostles, the ones Christ sent, that they met on the first day of the week in the first church. And we follow in their example because Christ gave them words and told them what to do. So we follow what Christ told them to do and what they did. And once again, we have those examples from God's word. So God doesn't change, but his law did change from the old law to the new law. So just to help you out, once again, Jeremiah 31 through 34, Hebrews chapter 7 through 10, and then also we mentioned 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, Acts 20 and verse 7, and John chapter 20 and verse 19. Hopefully that's been helpful to you to clear that up for you a little bit. 308-9564 to call in your question, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, we have this text caller from the phone number 113, the last three digits. Their question is the Holy Spirit a person? Well, John 16 and verse 13, we'll find the answer. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak and will tell you things to come. He will tell you things to come. So, it sure sounds like he's a person. Yes, the Holy Spirit is one of the three in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God just as much as the as Father is God, and that Jesus is God. Now, if you want a verse for that, look in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, where it says, you've not lied unto man, but unto God. You have lied unto the Spirit. So there the Spirit and God are referring to each other. They're in the same context. That's Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. So he is God. He is Godhead. He is Elohim. That is the word in Genesis 1 and verse 1. So, yes, he is a person. Absolutely. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the number is 308-9564. We got a lot of questions on the same subject. I think we can combine some of them here. Dealing with the Old Testament, New Testament, and David wants to know, he says, if all authority is given to God, then why do we have apostles, etc.? Well, it's not a matter of if, David. We've already read from Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus said this pretty emphatically when he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. And so it's not a matter of if. It is a matter that he is. Now, it's just what we need to do is figure out how he is showing that authority and such and what he's done with that authority. He says to the apostles in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, 19, there he says, whatsoever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And so he gives them authority while on the earth. But these apostles, as we've already established and shown, there are no authority, there are no apostles today, thus they are not here. And now everybody has to follow the same set of rules, which is God's Word, the New Testament, the New Covenant. Galatians chapter 1, one of those apostles even said this, even if we, including himself and the apostles, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. So not even the apostles had the right to come up with any new teaching other than what we see in God's word, in his divine message. So from that standpoint, even they were totally submissive unto the Father. By the way, even Jesus was submissive to the Father. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the Father who sent me. So you get the idea there. Yes, God is the one in charge. And the headship that's in charge is in heaven, not here on earth. Thank you. Thank you so much for your question. Good thought. Good question there. Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. And it's time for another break again. While we are at break, continue with the questions. We're getting caught up on them. 308-9564, that's the number to call in your question right now. The lines are available. Or if you'd rather, you can text at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We want to thank all of y'all that are enrolling courses today, and please don't have any hesitation about it because it is free. We'll get it in the mail to you even this week, and we're thankful that you are showing enough initiative to put forth effort to get this in the mail to you. The gospel is not meant to go knock people's doors down and or to even start a mob scene or an insurrection. That's the way the devil works. God says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given. So if you are putting forth initiative to ask, we're going to make certain that you get this in the mail to you free. And we will never, ever ask for a donation or any kind of help financially whatsoever. So just do not think about it. We're just glad to serve you, giving you the treasure that will never be taken away from you. So go ahead. If you've had any hesitation about getting the course to you, please put that aside. Go ahead and call 553-5157 right now, and it'll be in the mail this week, 553-5157. So right now we're going to continue with the questions. If you have one, you can call here at the studio. The number is 308-9564. Both lines are available. Or if you would like to text, you can text at 725-9283.
We have a caller calling in this question. Steve calls in about Luke chapter 24 and verse 44, which read, he asked to please explain. Luke 24 verse 44 reads, and he said to them, talking about Jesus, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. As you actually can just continue on reading really to get a little bit more clarity and explanation of the context. So verse 45 says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. See, one of the biggest issues that you see when you look throughout the Gospels is that the disciples, not just the 12, but all of Christ's followers, when he was telling them parables, and he was trying to understand, get them to understand spiritual concepts and spiritual lessons, they missed the point a lot of times because they were thinking physical. There was a situation where, you know, they had gotten in a boat and they forgot to take bread. They only had like one loaf of bread. And this was right after Jesus had fed the 5,000 and fed the 4,000. And Jesus is like, how can you understand that when he said, that beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Jesus was like, how can you not understand? I'm not actually talking about bread. They thought he said beware of the leaven of the Pharisees because they didn't take bread. Well, he had just fed 5,000 people with five loaves and 4,000 people with seven loaves. So why would they be worried about bread with him in the boat? Obviously, he can multiply the bread, no problem. So a lot of times, the disciples missed the lesson Jesus was trying to teach them because he was trying to teach them a spiritual lesson and they were thinking of a physical situation. John chapter 6, the entire chapter really kind of shows that and demonstrates that the people were thinking physical, Jesus was trying to teach them spiritual. So that's why they were missing it. But verse 45, it shows that he opened their understanding from the scriptures. See, Jesus was able to use the word of God just like we should be able to use the word of God. Because if you look at John chapter 20 and verses 30 and 31, it tells you a description of the items and the things, the stories that are contained in the word of God. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, it says, truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Verse 31 is key. Verse 31 reads, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. See, what verse 30 does is it puts an emphasis on every single verse of scripture that is contained in God's word. Because if the things that are contained in God's words weren't essential to what we needed to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then guess what? It wouldn't have been in there, because verse 30 says that there's plenty of other things that Jesus did that aren't contained in here. And we have a promise from God in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, that verse 23 to 24 in that range there, that his word endures and abides forever. So he has compiled this complete revelation of God for us, and we have it. It's completed. It's here for us. We have what is contained and what's needed. 2 Peter 1:3, that his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, his word contains what we need to believe. So anything that's not in there is not really necessary for what we need to believe. Thus, things that are contained in it must be essential. That's why we can't ignore those things. And that's how Jesus was able to open their understanding from the scriptures and using the scriptures. Because all those things that was written in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning the Messiah, they came true. Those prophecies were fulfilled and they came true. And all those things happened just as God said they would. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Steve. We appreciate you calling in your question. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here. Lines are available, 308-9564, or we have the text line at 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have this caller texting in a question from the last three numbers, 247. Their question is taking communion every Sunday one of God's commandments or man's tradition? Please explain the purpose of communion or the Lord's Supper. Well, wonderful question. We sure appreciate that. And that is something that is often overlooked in today's world, in today's religious world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where we will see the instructions concerning this. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As I read it, I'm emphasizing the answer to your question there. And that is it a command? Well, yes. Let me read on. "And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So when you see those words, you hear those words, do this, this do, that suggests it's a command, doesn't it? And so that is the reason why we are to do this. This is something he expressed that we should be doing. It is needful for us. It's not needful for him. We need this. We need to be reminded of how we have entered into a covenant relationship with him, and thus we've got to stay faithful to him and true to him. And what he did in order to give us this privilege, all of that is involved in partaking of the Lord's Supper, along with many other meaningful things. And so please, there's no way for us to even in an hour and a half to talk about the full meanings associated with the Lord's Supper. But let me address your first question there, and that is, should it be done every Sunday or every first day of the week? Well, the very first verse of that chapter tells us by command, Paul says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. So God commands us to do what he did. And so let's just make certain that that's really what he wants us to do. Philippians 3, verse 17, Paul said, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Also chapter 4 and verse 9, "The things you've seen in me, these do." So there, we've got to do what he did. So when we go and find Paul's example on how he respected God enough to obey him in this, what we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 is upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. That's why they came together. Upon the first day of the month? No, it didn't say that. First day of the year? No. First day of the season? No. The verse says first day of the week. That comes every 7 days, doesn't it? Yeah. So that's why and when we should do this every first day of the week, because that's what they did. And if we're going to be like them, we got to do what they did. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate that very much. Again, that was 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27, Philippians 3, 17, Philippians 4, 9, and then also Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. We see the binding example that we should be following today. Again, the number is 308-9564. Can you squeeze in another one before our break?
I sure can. David calls in and asks, is it a sin to buy or sell on Sunday? Well, it did. When we look in the scriptures, we don't see anywhere in the New Testament where the buying or selling something is forbidden on the first day of the week. As Ricky was just pointing out, there's a couple of commandments that God told us to partake of on the first day of the week and things that we should do on the first day of the week. But we don't see anything that prohibits certain activities on the first day of the week. The closest thing I could think about, or the first thing that came to mind, was Matthew chapter 21 in verse 12 that says, then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. So by extension or by application of what that scripture is talking about in that context, we would understand that it is displeasing in God's sight to buy or sell in the place where you would have your worship service or the assembly or the gathering of the people of the body of Christ. And so wherever that meeting place and assembly place is for you to worship God or to do spiritual things in reverence towards God, buying or selling in that place would be frowned upon by God. So by principle, I believe that's the only thing that we can really pull out from the scriptures, but we don't necessarily see anything specifically about buying or selling on Sunday. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. We are about to go to our last break. We are delighted that you have been sticking out with us this far, and we got gonna go to break, but we're going to continue to encourage you to call in your questions. Go ahead and call in your questions and get them in before the end of the broadcast at 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live. Once again, we just want to stress to you, this is our last segment. We are about to say farewell, but we have some questions here on deck, and we have about 12 or so or 13 minutes or so left in the broadcast, and we encourage you to go ahead and call in your question. And also a reminder about the Bible Correspondence Course. We've had some enrolled throughout the program already. We commend you, and we thank you so much, and we will get that out to you within the mail within the coming days, and we encourage the rest of you. If you have not done so, if you're a consistent listener and you've listened to us consistently throughout the months and you've never signed up for the correspondence course, why? Why not? Go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do it right now. You can pick up and sign up for the correspondence course and greatly increase your understanding of the Word of God and help you to grow a lot more and excel still more, as the Holy Spirit used Paul to tell the church in Thessalonica, excel still more, abound more and more in the Word of God. So the Bible Correspondence Course can help you do that, and we encourage you to take part in that. 308-9564 is the number to call us here at the station, no? And we can get those questions in before the end of the broadcast. Go ahead and call in right now, 308-9564.
We have this texting in this question. They started talking some about apostles and teachers, and you'll find that where God did appoint some in Ephesians chapter 4. And then he goes on and says, the perfect will of God, was that the will of God? And then he refers to a news item that is occurring in our news around here in the last couple of weeks and says, was that God's will or was that Satan's attack? And so, first of all, let's establish what you said, and that is the perfect word of God is the will, the perfect will of God. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says that you not be conformed to this world, but that you be transformed by the will of God, by the perfect will of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yes, the will of God is perfect, but God's will is not forced on anyone today. He does not turn man into puppets at all. They must be yet submissive to God. He allows all of us, every single person, to choose what kind of person they want to be. And matter of fact, the actual definition of sin is described in 1 John 3 and verse 4, where it says, transgression of the law is sin. So transgress means to go beyond that perfect law of God. And so that's what's causing all of these news items, these tragedies, these headline news of all of the things that are going on here and around the world. That's a transgression of God's law. Ladies and gentlemen, if everybody in the world would just submit to what God's perfect law says, that would eliminate all police on the face of the earth. That would eliminate the need for all armies on the face of the earth. That would eliminate every kind of problem that you can think of. Every single tragedy on the face of the earth is because of people ignoring what God's will is. It is perfect if we will just follow it. Every single sin and tragedy is either directly or indirectly because God is, or man is violating God's law. Wow. Wouldn't that be great to be able to live in a place where everyone is in perfect harmony with God? Oh, yes, it would. I want to go there. Don't you? Well, God says we can if we will just submit to his will when we leave this body behind. That's exactly what we will be able to experience. And so I hope this caller, and as well as everyone listening here, will want that same thing by following just exactly what God says. And even though you may not be able to change the whole world, you can change the world around you just by listening and letting God change your life for you to become more like Christ. Thank you so much for your question. That is a very good thought, and I sure appreciate that. And yes, there's going to be tragedies, but because of violation of God's law, and those things will continue to happen because God is just not going to force his will on anyone. He gives us a choice to follow him or not, to love him or not. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Chuck?
Yeah, we have this question asking, is gambling a sin? Well, as far as this is a question we're going to have to answer by principle, and it is not a specific verse that says, thou shalt not gamble. But by principle, we can apply a couple of scriptures. If you look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, you understand what gambling is. You're acquiring wealth or money or whatever you're gambling for, a possession or something. If you're acquiring that by means of taking it from someone else. So if you understand what that foundation of what gambling is, then this principle of scripture here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 that says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4, let each one look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So that verse there kind of puts to bed any situation that would cause you to acquire wealth or something based off of taking it from someone else. also, as far as a means to attain finances, you know, God tells us certain ways that we should attain finances. Specifically, he tells us, you know, work. He says, if a man shall not work, neither shall he eat. He gives us that admonition. And he also tells us that we are supposed to labor with our hands to be able to have to give to those who are in need. So he tells us to work, not only to provide for ourselves and for our families, and also 1 Timothy 5:8 that says, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's 1 Timothy 5:8. So God expects us to attain finances through working and to provide for our families. So he expects us to do that. And so, once again, that's Ephesians 4:28, 1 Timothy 5:8. And at the moment, I cannot remember which part of Thessalonians where he says, if a man shall not work, not
Second Thessalonians chapter 3.
There you go. And that's why there's two people on the radio. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. God expects us to work and to attain finances by that means, and to be able to give to have to those who are in need, but not to acquire or gain wealth from taking it from others in the form of gambling. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. 308-9564. Got about 5 minutes left in the program. You can hurry up and get your question in if you would like. 308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, I've got this question coming in, and taking it without much preparation. It's a text question. It says, hi, my name is Kevin. I'm a believer, and I've been going through a lot of trials, and my wife and my mom keep asking me why I'm going through. God told me to trust him, though God told me to trust him in everything, but my wife and my mom are asking me lost hope in God. They've lost hope in God. What do I do? My wife and my mom think you're not supposed to go through if you're serving God. Okay, the health and wealth gospel. That your wife, your mom seems to have bought into this idea of that if you serve the Lord, then you're not going to have any troubles. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have been taught that, please know you have bought into the devil's bit of goods. Just think about the apostles. Some of them started out wealthy. Some of them started out poor. But every one of them died in disgrace as far as for the world's view. Every one of them, except for maybe John. John might have died from natural means. But the rest of them died in disgrace. Every one of them died poor. Serving the Lord does not mean that we're going to be healthy nor wealthy. Timothy was sick and told to take care of his stomach and his often infirmities. There's Epaphroditus nearly died. There are others. It's not a matter of a health and wealth gospel. And if you have been buying into that, then you're not listening to the gospel of God. You're listening to the gospel of some other place. And it's not good news, because in the end, it is still bitter. So let's just submit to God. It is not about the here and now that God gives us this treasure. It is about eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, it brings out, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where that's not possible. And so if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll take care of our needs, which is food and clothing. And if we just have food and clothing, we should learn to be content. 1 Timothy 6:5-6. The problem is we're not content. Oh, we want more, 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 more. We want more to the point that it almost gags us. We've got to learn to be content in such situations of what we have in this life, and serve him with peace, serve him with contentment. And if we want to see good days and we want to serve the Lord, then we need to seek the wisdom from above. James chapter 3 talks about we need to do what he says in his word, to follow his will. It is not about the here and now. It's not about the physical. In John chapter 6, we started the program with today, Jesus just nails that crowd that followed him because of their stomach, because they did eat and were filled. And he lays it on them there, saying that's not how to be able to serve the Lord. He says, you need to listen to my words. They are spirit. They are life. Read the whole chapter, John chapter 6, and you'll see that that's what it's all about. It's not about a physical king or position or pride or place in this life. It is all about being able to go home to our Creator, our giver of every good and perfect gift in this life. And that's what will bring the satisfaction we need. Thank you so much for your question. We have one more question.
Yeah, program's almost over. Just wanted to throw this question in. It's asking about Christians playing the lottery. And I'll answer that the exact same. That would fall into the exact same way that we answered the last question about gambling. God tells us how we should be able, how we should gain finances and wealth. And so,
well, yeah, the Bible brings out there's six ways to get money. One or five. We got to work for it. You mentioned that. Man won't work, neither should he eat. We can discover it in the parables that Jesus taught, the discovering of the great pearl, the treasure. We can invest. That was told in the parable of the talents. Why did you not put it to the bankers for interest? We can be gifted, someone give it to us, or we can inherit. Those are the five ways that the Lord tells us to get increase.
And I can answer this real quick. What does the Bible say about for better or worse in marriage? The Bible doesn't say that.
It doesn't say it. But God does say, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. So if you're going to get married, you better have a stick-to-itiveness determination in your heart. Because when you say I do.
1 Corinthians 13 tells you how to love. 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah.
Test. That's a test right there, verses 4 through 8.
Yes. And so if you are not willing to stick with it, then don't you dare say I do. That is so very important. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your interest, your hunger and thirst for righteousness, and the desire to know what God says. Because if we learn the truth will set us free from the bondage of sin, from darkness. We will no longer be aliens, but will be adopted as children of God. And the only way that we can do that in our lives is if we let the Bible speak.